greet you in that wonderful name of Jesus. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening. I'd like to read a few verses here. Going to break in where it's talking about a people group that is very uniquely different than us here tonight, lived in a different dispensation. They were a Jewish people, different circumstances that surrounded them, a people who could not see down through the corridors of time to the kind of service that we are having here tonight. There was a veil, it says, a veil over them. And yet today, verse 16 implies the veil is still not lifted. Many are still rejecting the Messiah. But it says in verse 16 that it is in their power. 2 Corinthians 3, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." But they need to return to the Lord for that veil to be lifted and to understand redemption in all its glory. We're here tonight, if we have accepted Christ and are living for Christ, we're here as a redeemed people tonight. We understand the work of Christ. As I read this passage, it grew on me and convicted me as I tried to understand, comprehend what it's saying here, and I still don't know if I understand it all. But I'd like to just think about it briefly tonight. Starting at verse 15, it says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, I know you didn't have time to meditate on what all is said there, as I endeavor to, but let's just stop reading there and ponder this a bit. Verse 18 says that there's something we all have. If we have the Spirit of God in us, and that is we have an open face. An open face, and that's my message title tonight, "With Open Face." With open face. I looked up what that open face means according to Strong's, and the word picture that it is describing here is a bride with her veil flipped back. Her face is open. She can see everything. There's nothing between her. There's no mesh. There's nothing hindering her from enjoying the moment and seeing all the splendor of the bridegroom and everything around her. No obstructions. We have no obstructions tonight to understanding redemption, understanding God, understanding God's will. We have no obstruction to beholding the bridegroom. Bible brides were accustomed to a hidden face, going through the ceremony with a filtered view because there was a veil over them. We, with our veils back, an open face, we can see God's moving and working. We can feel it in our heart. And we're trying to fit ourselves into what we are seeing by the Spirit of the Lord, what God is showing us, excuse me, as we move through life. As he endeavors to teach us and groom us into being little Christs. With open face, we are not hindered in any way from living a life that reflects God's image because we can see God's image through Jesus. We have it. We understand God's holiness. We understand God's intercessory plan. We understand God's compassion. And we understand God's yoke. And that he will assist us to go through our difficult challenging things that our flesh has to face, the hard spots. We understand that he wants to go with us. We're viewing life with an open face. We see God's work as a whole. As Christians, God becomes a role model to us. Jesus came in flesh. He was something visible to show us what changing our image from glory to glory, as it talks about here in verse 18, by the Spirit of the Lord, looks like, and how that works out in life. To change from glory to glory, again, borrowing from Strong, means an upgrade of our opinion, our judgment, our view. You know, sometimes we have this perspective of something until we see it a little closer, until we see it a little more, until we hold it in our hands, and then we change our opinion. We move from what we thought to this. Maybe what we thought wasn't necessarily wrong, but now we're seeing it better. Now we understand it. And the closer we get, the more we open it up, the more we move from glory to glory. And as we do that, our perspective changes. We see more and more. We upgrade our opinion. We upgrade our judgment. We upgrade our view. The more we look through open face at Christ's glory, and the more we put our blinders on to this world, the more our opinion and judgment and perspective matures. It matures as we go through life and as we go from glory to glory each step, as we learn to know more about God in our Christian growth, our Christian journey. Jesus showed us what self-denial really looks like, what it really looks like. He showed us. He recorded everything for us to see the Father through him, and to see the struggle that he had, and how yet through all that struggle, the Father's will was the most paramount thing in his life. And whatever it took to fulfill the Father's will, he was going to do it. We live in a world that has role models. They have professional sports players that are role models. They have musicians that are role models. We see people working hard to look like their role models, to act like their role models, to be identified as their role model or part of their role model's values. If their role model has straight hair, but theirs is curly, they will work hard to eliminate their curls. They buy the same makeup and the same jewelry as their role model wears. They buy the same designer clothes that their role model wears. They shed whatever they were to become what their role model is. It's what they do because they have a role model. They have something they're trying to mimic. This passage tells me that if I'm born of the Holy Spirit, that is exactly what I'm going to be doing in a spiritual way, in a practical way, on a personal level, as I move from glory to glory, and I get to see God more and more. I'll just want to shed what isn't God in my life and put on what is God and identify with God. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty is a word that America loves. But the word liberty that America loves is not the same liberty that is here. This is not a everyone else back off and let me do what I want to do and do as I please. That's not the liberty that's here. Here again, I'll read what Strong says about the definition of this word. It says, liberty, the first definition, to do or to omit things having no relationship to salvation. Did you get that? To do or omit things having no relationship to salvation. Now let's read verse 17 again. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a desire to omit things that have no relation to salvation. And then what? Go after the things that relate to our salvation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is our guiding force. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's going to help us to not look so longingly at the things of the world and be so disgruntled by what we don't have, but to look at what God has for us and to go for that. We will look at what the world is doing and ask a simple question: will this help me or hinder me at the end of my life, when what really matters, really matters? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a desire to put off what's not going to help us in the end. The opportunity to shed the things that cater to our carnal nature and embrace the things that are most likely to aid us in being faithful and fulfilling God's will, just like our role model Jesus did. It's not going to get easier the closer we get to the end to keep our spiritual equilibrium. I don't believe it's going to get easier. The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly. The closer we get to the end, the more we're going to need each other, the more we're going to value being with people of like precious faith, the more we should value people that we know the fruit of their life on a daily basis, and we know how they came to their doctrinal positions that they came to. As we physically meet with others that are changing from glory to glory with open face, like we're endeavoring to do, we will find ourselves being ministered to, and we will find ourselves in ministry. Because it's what happens as we move from glory to glory and we get excited about what we're discovering. You know what we do? We talk about it. It's a natural thing. There's something we are observing. There's something we're realizing that we didn't realize, and it comes out. And we start communicating in a different way, maybe, than what we communicated before we moved in the next step from glory to glory. I remember the day I got a call from a supplier. It was quite a few years ago, but it almost seems like yesterday because it really impacted me. I don't know how he knew for sure. He was a Jewish man. We bought a lot of materials from him. But he said, "I'd like to give you something." He was the owner of the company, so the company was in Pittsburgh, so it's not like I got to see him a lot. But he said, "I'd like to give you something as a token of appreciation for your business with us." It was getting close to the end of the year. But he said, "I guess tickets to an Eagle game is not something you would appreciate, is it?" I said, "No, not really." He said, "Would there be some charity or something that I could send some money to?" He said, "I'd really like to do something for you." And I helped him out with that. But I hung up that phone, and there was something that just, how did he know? How did he know that tickets to the Eagles game wouldn't get me super excited? Well, probably it's because I never talked Eagles. Maybe at one point he might have introduced the subject, and I didn't latch on to it because I didn't know anything about it. Maybe that's why. But somewhere along the way, he came to that conclusion that that's probably not something that I would really value. And I bring up that is because my focus made up my conversation, right? If my focus would have been on Eagles, I probably would have talked Eagles with him, if that would have been my focus. And he probably wouldn't have came to that conclusion. But as we move from glory to glory, it changes our focus, and it changes our talk, and it changes our walk. What is my open face view today doing for me, practically speaking? What's it doing for me? Just recently, I must confess, it probably put me to more of a test than it should have, but it was a real test. There was a large company locally that wanted us to do a banner that had colors on that we couldn't endorse, and it noted that they are an ally. And we kindly referred the job away. And they weren't satisfied with that. They came back and wanted us to say in writing why we didn't do that job. And we tried offering our phone numbers for them to give us a call, and we said we'd like to talk to them about it. I wanted to do anything but put it in writing. But finally, we sensed that they weren't satisfied. They wanted it in writing, and we were afraid of why they wanted it in writing. But finally, we decided to agree with our adversary quickly, and we put a little something in writing, and we haven't heard anything since. But there's something really had me churning. Because I know somewhere out there's something in writing that could be really used against us. And there could be picket lines really fast, and there could be lawsuits really fast. But you know, I was glad for a weekend to just step back and view God and view His glory and ponder His holiness. There was something inside of me like, maybe I should have just compromised. After all, they're just trying to hire people, and maybe I should have. But then I see those colors, and no, I can't do that. I'm here to reflect God's glory. But I'm glad to say that I came to a real peace. I came to a real peace, even though I don't know what all may come out of it. I came to peace. Because I could reflect, I could with open face look back, and I could think about what the Bible says about Lot, who vexed his righteous soul with their unlawful deeds. And I could think about Abraham and how he lived in a time when, how did he end up so differently from Lot? What was the choices he made as he went from day to day? It was how close he assimilated himself with Sodom and those things that made a big difference in their life. And in their children's lives, their servants' lives. Now it's our turn. Now it's our day. As I was as I had worked through all that, one day there was a feed came on my phone. I don't know why it showed up, but it resonated. It was a video clip of a female Christian college student being quizzed by a high school student about how a Christian should relate to someone who is transitioning from one gender to another. And I must confess, I was really challenged by her answer because it gave me a window into what she was facing as a college student. And I'm going to read a good bit of what she said. She said, "There is a way to love someone and to show love to someone without endorsing their lifestyle or how they are choosing to live their life. As Christians, we are called to love everyone, including loving our enemies. But loving people starts by telling them the truth and not giving in to the lies of society. It is an incredible, difficult journey to walk right now with our generation that we are still trying to figure out, but ultimately it's not supposed to be easy. I don't know how much experience you had rubbing up with Christian values in a society that is rejecting everything we believe in from a Christian values perspective, but the gospel does not say that you're going to be loved or that you're going to have a million friends or 5 million followers on TikTok or have every job opportunity available to you or even it's always going to feel good to be a Christian. In fact, the gospel repeatedly says over and over that if you dare to tell the truth in a world that is rejecting the very concept of truth, and we believe as Christians we bear the name of Christ, we should, that you will be hated. You will be persecuted. Your safety might be threatened. I experience that on college campuses all the time. You might lose your job. You might have a friend or family member choose not to have a relationship with you anymore. You will probably get an F in a college class at some point because you said that God is the creator of the universe, that the world that we live in today. I don't say that to scare you or to freak you out or to make you feel that you have to be submissive to the demands of cancel culture and the woke group of people that is trying to cancel out everything we believe in as a Christian. As Christians, I say this to empower you because instead of seeking approval of the world, that is an incredibly temporary, finite amount of time, we have the luxury of knowing this world is not our home. The next world is. Life goes extremely fast and the demands of culture change every 5 minutes, but the demands of God and what we believe in and the requirement to share the truth with the world never changes. And I say that to empower you, to encourage you, no matter what the world throws at you, you take it as a sign that you are going the right direction. I was really challenged by a college student writing that. What are you facing today? What am I facing today? How are we faring in our walk with the world? How are we doing tonight? That's really the question. How are we doing tonight? I like to read chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 yet. It says, therefore, we have a ministry. I said that as we go from glory to glory, becomes what we talk about, we have a ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, unfortunately, I can't stand here and boast all success stories in being a model example of Christ in all my affiliations and in all my actions, because I'm ministering out of an earthly vessel. It's why we have this time of periodic accountability, because we're earthen. We're in earthen vessels. The world is rubbing against us. The world is wearing on us. Our coworkers can become so irritating, our little children be so wearing, that we do not act in a Christ-like spirit in our dealings. The pressures of the world can allure so hard that we succumb to doing things that we determined we were not going to do again, but we do. Tonight, the beautiful thing is, if our earthen vessel has failed us, we can check our failure. We can take this moment and acknowledge our complacency or our sin, and we can clear our conscience, and we can walk in newness of life. He is able to come inside of us and make us a powerful testimony of his grace. You know, I'm just fascinated. Every spring I have these ice cream buckets, that ice cream freezers, homemade ice cream freezers, and they're getting so old and so worn out. And they dry out. They get dried out. There's cracks that I can see light through. But you know, I keep penetrating, keep getting water back in there, and after a while they are just as tight and holding water, just like before they were shrunk. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to, in our times of checking or rubbing shoulders with the world, he wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to just fill us again and keep saturating us till we're a vessel that is again useful for his glory and his purposes. Tonight, it's the beautiful thing is our earthen vessel failed us, but we can check and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit that has worked in spite of me all my life. I'm not proud of many things in my past, the music that was in my vessel, the lust that was there, the things that were not a reflection of a strong man of God, but a weak wimp under peer pressure. But it's humbling that we have a God that is patient and willing to work with us and willing to take us from glory to glory and just show us little glimpses of him if we're ready to walk with him. And after a while, we realize we're changing. We're changing. We're seeing God in a dimension that we never did before. Let's read verses 7 to 11 yet in closing. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. May tonight be another time of giving a testimony that we are moving from glory to glory with Jesus. And if we're not, let's just be honest enough to say, I need help, I need prayers, I need to talk to someone. Let's be real. May God bless us.